slechte ervaring.
Me and my fam take this rap shit serious.
Yo, 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 yo. Mic check. 1, 2, 1, 2. We in the house. Serious Rap Shit Podcast. This is episode 76.
76.
Every time we do one, I think like, yo, we're one closer to 100.
100, yeah.
It's crazy. We got to do something like, we got to like sacrifice a chicken or some shit.
I was going to say sacrifice a child. I was down either way.
Either way. I love how like whatever was going to come out, you were like, hey, I'm down to ride. Yeah. That's real friendship right there.
Exactly. No, and it makes sense to be episode 76 right now because it's the season.
Hey.
Basketball season officially came back.
Episode your 76. Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah.
Yo.
10, 9, 8, 76ers. I love that they haven't updated the song since the 70s.
I was gonna say this is like 1973. It's been the same fucking Sixers song. But I'm kind of glad too because I didn't want like, you know,
a really bad rap version.
Yeah, like in the 2000s, like yeah. It's getting hot in here, so shoot all your hoops. Like yeah. I didn't want that shit to happen.
Definitely.
Word. Shout out to the Sixers. I got to watch. A lot of the playoffs because I was knocking on death's door
yeah.
when, you know, this past spring. So I was in the hospital and like watching a lot of basketball and I enjoyed, yeah, I'm a lifelong Sixers fan. You know what I'm saying? I enjoyed that run, you know, shit's looking a little shaky for the Sixers and, the Eagles this year, but you know, That's the nature of sports. It's like up and down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Listen, they 2-1 right now. They
come on.
Beat the Pistons tomorrow.
Beat the shit out of the Pistons. Shout out to the D.
Yeah. Listen, dog, when Blake Griffin's your best player, you're not that good.
Yeah.
But they're going to bust. I mean, they swept Pistons last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think they swept them the year before that, too, because they stink.
Jesus.
They did fire Ron Jeremy, though, as a head coach. So.
Did you say Ron Jeremy?
Yeah. Stan Van Gundy looked like Ron Jeremy.
Shout out to Stan Van Gundy and Jeff Van Gundy, for that matter.
The best thing Jeff Van Gundy ever gave us was hanging on Lonzo Mourning's leg, yo.
Yo, when he was rumbling? Wow. Shout out to Lonzo Mourning. Is he still, wasn't he dealing with like some health stuff?
Kidneys. He had kidney disease or something
Jeez,
like that.
Jeez, is he better from that now?
I don't know. I know he went out, had surgery, came back to the league for a little while.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm assuming so.
Shit. Shout out to Lonzo Mourning.
Long line of Georgetown centers, yo.
Yo. Georgetown has so many fucking centers that, like, made it to the NBA that are, like Hall of Fame potential.
Yeah. They biggest recruit now is some white boy that can dunk.
Well, you know. You got a white guy that can dunk. Yeah. You can pretty much write your own ticket in college basketball.
Yeah, he, you know, Ewing's a coach now.
Yeah. 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 I'm happy for him for that.
He got some. Yeah, they said he would never get a chance in the league. Like everybody was like, "Oh, you could be our big man coach."
What the fuck?
I don't know.
You know that racism, yo.
Yeah,
I don't know if y'all listening to this are aware of it, but there are certain impediments for black people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? On a
systemic
level. We
never talk about
it
really on this podcast.
Not at all. So. Not at all. If you're just tuning in, we never talk about racism. But yeah, shout out to Patrick Ewing, though.
Even though like NBA is the one sport that's more open to like. Black like head coaches
right.
front office people and stuff like that, still it's obviously behind white folks hand over fist, but
yeah,
they have like black owners in the NBA, which they like in any other sport they don't,
right? How about that?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Shout out to Michael Jordan for being the worst owner in the history of basketball, but also the greatest player.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking conundrum.
Well, you know, they said like, you know, a lot of times like for great players, I mean, this is no excuse for him to be a terrible owner, but a lot of times like great players make bad coaches and bad GMs because they never are, like they always look at a guy and go like, well, why isn't he better? Why can't he just be better?
Just do better. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, because they can just be better and like, they're not, you know what I mean? But like, you like to develop guys is hard when you're like great.
Yeah, I wonder if the other
you're not allowed to just punch dudes in the grill anymore. So.
Yo, Jordan was socking so many niggas. Yeah, niggas was watching these "I Want to Be Like Mike" commercials and like watching Space Jam, y'all millennials and shit, and was loving Space Jam. Michael Jordan was a fucking savage back in the day. Yeah. He was slapping the shit out of everybody in practice.
Yeah, definitely.
Niggas told you that in the Jordan rules back in the day.
I ain't mad at it, though. Sometimes you got to. Sometimes you got to smack a dude around.
Listen, you think Red Auerbach never smacked nobody?
Exactly.
You think Wilt Chamberlain never slapped the shit out of somebody?
You don't think, what's my man?
Barack Obama?
No, yeah, we know that. from the Celtics. I can't think of his name right now.
Who, Larry Bird?
No, center ball.
Bill Russell?
Bill Russell. You know he is smacking you.
Bill Russell was probably slapping the shit out of niggas and called them Hulkies and shit. Damn, Hulky, get on the boards and slap the shit out of somebody.
You don't win 11 rings if you don't do that, yo.
Dog, that's the thing, too. That's why Serious Rap Shit Podcast, by the way.
Yes.
That's the thing that makes the whole rings conversation invalid. Like, I understand there has to be... Like
I think it's a combination. For me, it's always been like a combination.
Yeah, it's individual accomplishment and also rings. Bill Russell got 11 of them motherfuckers and people don't even mention him. No. Like old heads, like Bob McAdoo or somebody will be like, well, you know Bill Russell. You know what I'm saying? Or like...
Man, Sonny
Hill.
Hey, week, dog. That's the worst. When you get up early in the morning on like a Sunday and you got to leave your crib and like you put on like WIP.
Yeah.
Like I love, like I respect Sonny Hill for what
super
he,
Philly specific, right?
Yeah,
here.
For what he did and like you know what I mean, the Sonny Hill League and all that kind of shit like that. I used to go to watch the Sonny Hill League when I was younger.
Legendary basketball figure here in the city of Philadelphia.
Dog, if I got you turn that shit on, all he talks about is, well, listen, man, with me and Will Chamberlain, you know, we was, you know, back in the day, we would run pickup games and we would just run dudes off the court. Like, dog, no one cares, man.
100
like,
years ago,
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, like.
He tell you about Jim Crow era basketball.
Yeah, dog, like.
God damn.
Yeah, me, Chet Walker, and Will Chamberlain. And Honey Grits. Y'all don't know about Honey Grits. He was great. He was better than Wilt.
Yeah. Y'all talking about Black Jesus. What about Honey Grits? What?
Honey Grits was amazing.
Yo. That's like classic old head shit.
Yeah.
Or old head. We gonna get to that point.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
I was in here with Lissa the other day. And we were talking about basketball, and I said something about Skip the Malou.
Yeah.
Niggas don't know nothing about Skip the Malou. She's like
for Austin, yo.
Yeah. She's like, what are you talking about? I was like, fuck, I'm getting to like that age where all my shit for when I was a kid was like the greatest shit ever.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah, I can't wait to get to that like point for everything, though.
Right.
We're already that point for sneakers. Like they don't do nothing but release
Air Maxes
over and over and over again.
I promise you, if you wearing a newly designed pair of sneakers, them shit's trash. They look like moon boots.
Look like Coogi sweaters, yo. Like I was looking at them shits like,
yo,
come on, man. I don't want a sweater on my foot. Yo, yeah. What the fuck, man. What? They don't got no good designers no more, dog.
Who's designing these sneaks?
They just bring out the Air Max 95s and 97s in different colorways. Like, yeah, that's kept Nike afloat, dog.
Yeah,
for real.
They mixing up like they'll have like a Dragon Ball Z color wave or like some fucking whatever like pop culture reference shit. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's just the colorway. Like
Kyrie Irving had like Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Lucky Charms and shit like that.
What?
Yeah,
like the actual
that colorway, and then it would have like the honey. It would have like a Lucky Charms like cereal box on the tag.
Oh no, that's terrible.
On the tongue and shit. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah. I mean, you know. They don't got no designers no more, dog.
Nah. What happened to like creativity? I didn't know how to phrase that any other way.
Oh, all they do is bring out old Jordans and old Air Maxes and go, yo, this is the wave.
How many times y'all gonna reissue them old Jordans with like the cage shit on them that niggas was wearing in like 86? How many times you gonna bring that shit out?
It's gonna bring them out in different colors all the time, dog. People just gonna keep buying them. You know why? Because they ain't make no new good sneakers, dog.
Jesus Christ. I seen a nigga.
I say that as I'm wearing Timberlands. Like, you know what I mean? It hasn't changed.
Tim's been the same shit since 90.
Yeah. I mean, especially in Philly, because we don't wear anything but like tan and like black chukka jumps.
That's another thing. Y'all New York niggas, we love y'all. But y'all coming through with these rainbow bright Tims. Yeah. That's never a wave.
Nah.
That's never been a wave. Nah, I'm not with it.
You want the red Jones to match your red Averex, but.
Yo, yeah. When we was in, I know I said this on the podcast before. We was in the Bronx. Shout out to the Bronx. Niggas was still wearing them big leather Averexes and shit. That was still like a whole style.
Oh, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I remember when that was the wave here, though. That was like 12th grade. Everybody had like Averex jackets, shit like that.
I never.
I had a polo jacket, though.
Yeah.
You know I mean, that wasn't going to be my twist.
Man, I always like, I look like a bum now, but I always like real clean.
Yeah.
You know, simple shit. I never wanted like
super giant baggy jacket. I didn't want my jacket to weigh more than I did. You know
what I mean? Right. Right.
That wasn't going to be my twist.
It's like my man Dilla said, niggas large like an 8X Averex. He let y'all know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what's been going on?
Well, apparently, like, the Hip Hop Awards, the BET Hip Hop Awards happened last week.
Okay.
Did you watch?
No.
Oh, me neither.
This being a hip hop podcast.
Yeah, why would I watch the BET Hip Hop Awards?
Come on.
It was the same night as the Sixers opener, dog. You think I was watching? Nah. What do you think I was watching? I was watching the Sixers. I wasn't watching the fucking BET right. Hip Hop Awards.
Watching Jay-Z and Beyonce not show up
yeah.
and get their award.
Any like Jay-Z, Beyonce, Drake, any like A-list rapper was like, I'm not going to the fucking BET Hip Hop Awards.
Which is bullshit, because just me, you know, speaking as a poor, not famous person. If I were like an A-list rapper, I would totally show up to the BET Awards. That shit probably mad fun.
Hip-Hop Awards now. Send me an invite.
Yo, if y'all gave us like some nice seats, we would come.
Yeah.
We would come and report live
for the BET Awards. Exactly, report live for the BET Hip-Hop Awards. Definitely.
Yo.
Although it's not like it was back, it's not like the Source Awards back in the day when it was guaranteed a fight would break out.
Yo, the Source Awards. Remember the one? Oh, I'm trying to think. Was it like Eminem? Oh, man. It might have been like Benzino. They drop niggas on the roof with like a helicopter and niggas jumped out rapping.
Yeah.
I can't remember who that was.
It was Benzino.
Jesus Christ. Shout out to Benzino.
They own the Source, dog. That's how it rocks. Whatever. You do whatever you want.
Nigga was getting like five mics.
Yeah, they was
giving it to himself.
They was extorting the white boy like.
Ooh, Dave Mays.
Yeah.
I'm gonna edit that out because I don't want no beef with Dave Mays.
No, we actually.
Yeah, I'm getting rid of all of that.
But yeah, they definitely was like giving themselves five mics in the Source. Yo.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, do you want to talk about this Vic Mensa thing?
I mean, it's up to you, dog.
I don't know. He. Vic Mensa dissed a nigga that beats women, but Vic Mensa also beats women.
Oh, really?
Bing a bang a boom.
Yeah, I didn't know
apparently,
that.
Yeah. Apparently, he choked out his girlfriend.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right. While he's like beating the drum about domestic abuse.
And like, the whole thing is like, you talking about a dude that's dead. Like,
right.
I think that, just in the sense that, like, you're talking about somebody who's not here to defend himself.
Yeah, I think it depends on because like when John McCain died and people were like, you know, crying the blues over John McCain. Yeah. I was like, but wait, John McCain was a war hawk that was at least indirectly responsible for plenty of people's deaths. Like if George W. Bush died tomorrow, I'm not going to be mum.
Yeah, but
like,
he also wasn't like a 17-year-old kid.
Right.
I think you have to allow people to grow as human beings. Like, you know, I'm not saying because we can't say, like, you can't stand on one side and be like, oh, you shouldn't lock kids up for life for something they did as a kid. And then also we're going to judge this kid for something he did while he was a kid.
I never thought about it like that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you can't stand on that. So, like, I look at it like, yeah, what he did was a horrible, deplorable act. Just like Chris Brown. Like, what he did was a horrible, deplorable thing, right?
Get him the fuck out of it.
But, like, you have to give people time to grow. We gave Chris Brown time to grow. Like, you know what I mean?
He said no.
he said he ain't want no time.
We was like, yo, Chris Brown, just grow, bro. He's like,
he said,
nah.
Stop my time. So, you know what I mean?
It's not happening.
He said he didn't move on. Like, maybe Jesus. This dude would have. I don't know. And I'm not
right,
saying
you don't
he would have or anything. I'm just saying, like, he was like a 19-year-old kid when he died or something like that, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't super. It wasn't like he was a 30-year-old, 40-year-old dude. You know what I mean?
And I think it's weak. You know, to like, not saying that like you can't have done a thing wrong and then speak out against
yeah, yeah.
a thing wrong. I just think that the stance for it to be such a public thing from Vic Mensa. A lot of his like public persona is, I hate this word, but like performative to me anyway.
Yeah.
Like that whole thing with academics, and then now he's like still calling academics out. Like, you know, the dude, he's like a nerd nigga.
Yeah,
like he don't want to rumble. He don't want no smoke. Why are you still on Instagram? Like, yeah, you pussy, blah, 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 blah. So a lot of that stuff is like, you know, pump your chest out stuff from him. And it's weak to be like pumping your chest out about a thing that you did.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And that nigga not that old, so Vic Mensa, so it couldn't have been that long ago.
Exactly.
That he choked this young lady out, allegedly. Yeah. So it's like, you know, what are we really talking about?
Yeah, and I think you have to like look some of that stuff out with like a grain of salt, in the sense that like, yo, you like, you're publicly taking a stance against a dead dude that isn't here anymore.
Yeah.
And, like, I get your point of being like, yo, we don't need to be championing, like, abusers. Cool. Like, you know what I mean?
100%.
I'm with that.
100%. I need the rappers who aren't abusers to take that.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Take the forefront of that stance. Like, yeah. People might not agree with that, but, yeah.
And
it would make it more...
It makes it a little more impactful.
Yeah, a little more solid. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm not saying that, like, oh, he can't say that. But at the same time, it's like, you're talking about a dude that's dead. You apparently have some allegations against yourself in the past.
Right.
So, like, you're lacking ground to stand on. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're coming at a guy and saying, like it's one, like, there's a whole system to attack, as opposed to saying, like, oh, this person specifically. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they were saying that homeboy X, his mom was in the audience.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, when Vic Mensa dropped that bar, which Vic Mensa probably didn't know that.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly.
So I get that.
Yeah. No, and you know, listen, at the same time, I probably wouldn't even caught it, because I wouldn't have, like, you know, I'm not such a big fan of X that I wouldn't even caught any, or Vic Mensa, for that matter, that I would even pay that much attention.
Right. I do appreciate that kind of stuff, in hip-hop in particular, is being spoken out against.
Exactly.
You know,
I like the message in a certain way, but, you know, sometimes sometimes the message isn't perfect. I don't expect it to be perfect either from, like, you know, a dude that's not, like, a public-trained speaker. You know what I mean? So
that's another thing, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The message isn't always going to be perfect. I'm not saying, like, oh, Vic Mensa is canceled either. Like, you know what I mean? So...
That word is canceled.
Yeah, we're not on that wave.
The word anyway. Canceled is canceled.
But I just go, like, you know, I think there was more couth that could have been used handling that situation.
Yeah, and I think that as we go on and as hip-hop grows as a culture, I'd like to think, I'm optimistic that this kind of stuff will really seep in. And how, you know, the outrage will be genuine, which I do believe that it is. I don't assume that, like, outrage on serious shit is, like, fake. You know what I mean? So I'm hoping that the culture of hip hop will be much better for these kinds of, like, as a result of these kinds of, like, conflicts and conversations and shit.
Yeah.
That it'll sink in and motherfuckers will be like, oh, this really is not acceptable.
Yeah, absolutely.
But beyond hip hop, the broader culture that we live under, American culture, Western civilization, whatever you want to call it, which is thoroughly misogynistic, thoroughly patriarchal. That shit needs to change.
Yeah.
In order for hip hop to be better and any other subculture under it to be better.
Yeah, definitely. Did you see this thing with Remy Ma?
No.
What the fuck? I guess she's like on Joe Button's show, like that show they have.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't watch that shit.
I didn't watch it. Like, I heard about it.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it though.
Apparently, like, she doesn't care if non-blacks use the N-word.
You know, that's her right, but, yeah, like, you know, if you're going to be out here throwing out takes like that, I need some substance other than, you know, well, we say it to each other.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You call your partner baby, honey, sweetie pie, son of a bitch when you mad.
Yeah.
That don't mean somebody else can call him that.
Yeah.
Definitely. You know what I mean?
Also, too, I wonder, like, where she comes from on it. In the sense that, like, she grew up in New York, in the Bronx, and yeah. probably around a ton of, like, Spanish folk who all use that word.
And everybody calling her the N-word, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I think that's something sometimes you have to take into account of being, like, in a place like New York where it's very multicultural in the sense that, like, you know, it's probably like Albanian dudes there using that word. You yeah. know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
because that all they grew up doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up using that word. Like, no BS. I did. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
I'm not going to hide that fact or just try to pretend to lie. I never used it. Grew up using that word. Grew up with mostly black friends and using it around them all the time because that was okay. It was yeah. acceptable. As I've gotten older, I realize it's not acceptable to do.
Right.
Remy Ma's not young and she should, you know what I mean? But again, her experience and her right, she can feel any way she wants to.
Yeah.
I hate that aspect of being like, yo, this person feels this way. I can't fuck with them no more.
Yeah.
Like, I was never a big Remy Ma fan anyway, so it's not like it's going to affect my fandom of her.
Yeah. I love Remy, but I disagree with, like, a lot of the things that she
oh, yeah.
says. Just like, I love people in my family, and I disagree with mad shit that they say.
Yeah, there's not... I go by the idea that, like... Listen, I don't agree with what she says, but if she puts out something dope, I'll say it's dope.
Right.
I think there's a big thing of, like, separating art from an artist.
Yeah.
Also because, like, yo, you know what? Like, I think we forget all the time. I think we live in a society of, like, heavy judgment. And especially, like, there's a lot of judgment mm-hmm. in a subsect who's super against judgment.
Yeah.
Like, the canceled people, that group of people who are like, oh, they're canceled. They're yeah. da-da-da. They're super against you judging them or judging them for any of the things that they do or mistakes that they make.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm petty. I'm doing this. I'm petty. This, da, da, da. And then if you judge them for being petty, they're like, well, you can't judge me.
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean?
But offer a lot of judgment.
But we'll offer a lot of judgment going outside.
Yeah.
Listen, that's your right if that's what you want to do. But at the same time, like, you know, you have to realize, like, if you're going to say, well, I'm a human and I make mistakes, you have to realize that they're human, that these people are humans too, just because the light is on them for whatever reason.
Yeah.
They're talented at the art that they do. They're not going to be perfect, man. They're human beings who evolve and change. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think that's a big thing when we talk about somebody like Kanye. You know, me and you have trashed him in the last episode. We talked about how crazy stuff was, but yeah. I think there's a big difference between him and Bill Cosby, like, or right. R. Kelly, or, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, people who actually
commit terrible acts.
Assaulted
yeah.
people.
Like, I think there's a big difference when you go into going, like, oh, well, I don't fuck with this artist anymore because of what he's done. That's cool. I get it.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And if you don't want to listen to Kanye anymore because Kanye is sitting there telling Trump time is an illusion, cool. And he's right. wearing a MAGA hat. I get that. You know what I mean? But, like, what he's doing as compared to what R. Kelly did is completely different things. And I think we have to take I think part of the problem is we live in an era like the internet of, like, everything's either, like, really great or really bad, and there is no in between. There's no gray areas anymore.
Yeah.
I think real life exists way more in a gray area.
Yeah. People love using the word nuance, but not actually
exactly
applying, you know, nuanced thinking to
exactly.
things.
Yeah.
And I think that our society is so tense for good reason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's so tense that we don't, and it's so alienating. Capitalism is so alienating. The way
Absolutely.
That we live is so alienating that we don't know how to empathize or really extend compassion to people who are in crisis, people who are, you know, stupid,
yeah.
people who are making mistakes. We don't really have, like, the emotional tools to really extend compassion to people. And I don't expect people, like, if somebody if a celebrity came out and said something that was like wildly transphobic, I don't expect trans people to be like, ah, well, you know, maybe they can, you know, grow or they can figure it out. I don't expect you to do that shit. You know what I'm saying? But it's like stuff like this Kanye thing. If black folks said, yo, I can't fuck with the bull, that's fine. But like the whole I'm not listening to your music anymore, that's a real low stakes game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all right, you not listening to his music no more, that's your right. There's artists that I don't listen to because they turned out to be deplorable human beings.
Absolutely.
And that's fine. You know what I mean? I think that a lot of what is happening now, the way we're learning how to talk about shit and the way we're moving and a lot of the discomfort that's coming from it, I think is part of like growing pains, us getting better as a society, even though it don't look like it. It seems like shit is getting like crazier, more inflamed.
And here's the crazy thing. It looks like that when you're looking at it as a whole. But as a person-to-person interaction, I don't feel that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Person-to-person interaction, I don't feel that way. Part of that is because a lot of times the internet allows you to be hidden and like, you know, stand anonymous behind the egg avatar, essentially. Like, you know what I mean? But person-to-person interaction, I don't get the same reactions I get. Like when people who are like, oh, super, yeah, like anti-PC, like, oh, I can't say this anymore, I can't say that anymore. If I misidentify somebody, I don't want to get, you know, I'm going to be judged and taken down. It's like, no, generally, like any person who I've like dealt with in modern society, or like person to person, if like you maybe misidentify them or misgender them, a lot of times the person will correct you. Right. And as long as you're respectable to them going back, it's not a problem.
Yeah. The problem is when y'all motherfuckers sit on the internet and yell like, fuck that.
Yeah.
If you was born this or the doctor said you was this, then you that.
Yeah.
Or fuck that. If I want to say the N-word, I'm going to say the N-word.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the problem.
Yeah. And a lot of times, too, it's you don't have that same energy when you're in front of those people. Right. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, keeping the same energy is an important aspect of that.
Right.
And because I'm not coming with that energy, generally I don't have an issue. Like, you know right. what I mean? I think you, like you said, like nuances, people like to say it, but like, man, people don't like to live that life, man.
Actually,
like,
apply to shit.
Yeah. Like the gray area is a fucking wide area. And that's really how life is lived.
Right.
But people don't want to accept that, you know what I mean? Or embrace the fact that like, yo, life is like that, man. Life a lot of times is, yo, it's misunderstandings. It's, you know, hey, I said something, you know what? I shouldn't have said it. You know what I mean? I admit that, like, you know what I mean? Or that we could grow and evolve, or, you know what I mean? Like, you know, as a person, you go like, hey, you know what? I talked one way in, you know, 2000 that I would never say that stuff now.
Right.
You know,
and you know, you got to accept that, you know, if somebody digs up something on you or if like somebody comes out and says, yo, this person, you know, acted this way or said this or said that, shit might fuck up your bag.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't mean that in a, because I don't like this whole mentality where people are like, oh, you can't say nothing because it'll fuck you up. That's like a coward's way out. You can't, you know, you ought to want to be better.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And your better isn't always going to look the same to other people or whatever. But, like, you have to acknowledge that, you know, I may have said some shit whenever, and it may fuck me up now.
Yeah.
That's the name of the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the name of the game. I could have been a fucking piano virtuoso, but yeah. I didn't like playing scales as a kid or practicing, so now I can't play piano good.
Yeah.
That's fucking life. You know what I mean? I don't want to hear no grown ass man bitching about, oh man, they fucking up my money because of what I said, because of what you said.
Yeah,
That's the game.
You gotta own your shit, man. Like, own your shit.
Hell yeah.
At the end of the day, you gotta own your shit.
Motherfuckers is real tough and straight shooters and all of that stuff till niggas beating you up on Twitter.
Yeah.
Then you cry in the blues.
Yeah, and
that's life, dog.
I one of the craziest thing too, I think I find a lot is people always go, but I got freedom of speech, I can say what I want.
Yep.
You're absolutely allowed to say what you want. That also doesn't mean what you say will not get you punched in the mouth or not get you fired. Company is a completely separate, you know what I mean? Like, Twitter can suspend your shit. They are an independent company who is not like, you know what I mean? You're not, a, you know, they're allowed to do what they want. Your job is a private company who's allowed to fire you if they feel like they can't, you know what I mean? If they don't want to be, what you said does not represent them. You are an employee and you represent them, and you don't want that, they don't want to have that tag to them, then they can get rid of you.
100%.
So, I mean, like, yeah, you can say whatever you want, but own your shit, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to own what you say.
Own your shit, because motherfuckers is out here. You know, you don't want to scroll through your Twitter. Other motherfuckers
definitely going to do. They going to find your shit, though. These
niggas said the boy, Brother Nature.
Yeah.
They said niggas saw him flexing in a Lambo or something like recently and like just went through his shit. Like, I know it's something in here. The thought of that is like insane to me, but it's mad funny, too.
Yeah.
Niggas like, yo. Fuck that nigga.
Yo, the fall be terrible, dog.
God damn.
The climb is hard. That fall is harder, yo.
Yeah. Shit. What Kanye say? Says something when you fall off, it feel like a plane crash.
Yeah.
God damn.
Ugh. Also, a connection to Buttons, too. Malice's brother.
I imagine you just call him Malice's brother.
Malice's brother.
Pusha T.
Malice's brother. They got together for, you know, the DHA club meeting. Drake Haters Club.
Yeah.
Drake Haters Association.
I wonder, you know, before we even get into this, I was listening to In Front of Popeyes Eating Chicken and Fries.
Yeah.
Cam'ron and Clip shit. Pusha T in that song. It's talking about some joke like a white chick looked like Madonna and like he heard Brian fucking with her. I had that. He's like, how you like her, Brian? I had that a long time ago. I was like, I wonder if LeBron is like, yo, fuck out of here, Pusha T.
Yeah.
like off of that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Especially considering like, isn't LeBron supposed to have been with his chick since high school?
That's what I was listening to that song.
Pusha Messi, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, why was you dry snitching on my man? Even back then, he was a young boy when that record came out.
Yeah, exactly. He was like, so apparently he went on Button's podcast and was like, no, it wasn't Kanye. It was 40 that gave me that info and blah, blah, blah.
About him having a kid.
About Drake having a kid.
Yeah.
And folks were like, yo, it's true. He ran with it. And they ran with it. It's like, so a dude who has no intention of throwing his man Kanye under the bus.
He was really throwing Kanye under the bus. I watched this shit before you got here. He was really throwing Kanye under the bus.
And then you go on Button's podcast, who like already has beef with, you know, he wasn't going to say nothing to M, but he shot a whole diss record a year ago to Drake. So
yeah, he retired.
I just find it like folks will be like, oh, well, if Pusha said it, then it's true. And we'll just go run with it.
Right.
Like, I mean, maybe it was. Maybe it was 40. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we all, you know, we know Drake said he told Kanye about this stuff. And then next thing you know, there was a diss record mentioning this stuff.
What's more likely? Kanye has secret ill will towards Drake. And Drake tells him this thing. And then he goes right next door to his man. And then feeds his man, who already has an issue with him. Or some mystery woman is having sex with 40. 40 tells her all of this stuff, even the kid's name and everything.
Exactly.
And she goes and somehow finds Pusha T to give him that information.
Yeah.
Like,
Occam's razor says that's not how it works.
You know what I'm saying? What's the more likely scenario?
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, when he was saying that, you know, I hate calling people liars. I really do.
Yeah.
But like when he was saying that, even like how he was saying it, you ever have a lying ass motherfucker tell you a story and he'd be like, yo, man, you know, I smashed the joint. Like, what you mean? When this happened?
Yeah.
Well, you know, what happened was, and they got mad like
if you
pauses.
Can't come straight forward.
They got mad pauses in this shit. When he was telling that story, it was some pauses in that shit.
Yeah.
Like he was like thinking of some shit.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know, man. I just look at it like, you know, Malice brother and
Pusha T
and Kim's husband,
Jesus,
have issues with the ball. And it makes a lot more sense that Drake told him, he ran and told
Pusha,
Malice brother, and was like, yo, listen, I'm going to put it in a song.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Now,
it's 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. Now, could he have dug up some more information from this, from a chick, you know, who was sleeping with 40, and they could have dug up more information because she was around the crew or something like that,
yeah,
for the next record, the Adonis, whatever it was called?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, could he have dug up more shit? Oh, certainly. Like, you know what I mean? Absolutely. Like, I'm not saying that that's not impossible, but, like, I tend to believe Occam Razor in the sense that, like, generally the easiest path is the path that it happened. Like, right, you know what I mean?
That just seemed like too much.
Yeah, exactly.
Seemed like too much.
Yeah.
And it, and too ironic.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Also, I mean, I don't really care about this anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
why is this coming up? Because of the Drake?
Because
he went
I guess
on,
because he went on the shop and talked about it. But a lot, yeah, of that stuff's been taped. Like, that shit was taped like last year.
Yeah,
because I know when they were talking about with Mo Bamba, which was the same episode, he hadn't been drafted yet, I don't think.
Right.
So, like, that's before June, like, right, before the draft. So, before the end of June or whatever. So, like, that's probably older. It makes more sense. And, you know, but TV, that's how TV works. And shit doesn't come out for months and shit. So, yeah,
100%.
But in line with that, Styles mentioned, like, because I guess Drake mentions in that interview, he's like, you know, I think mentioning 40 was against the rules and blah, blah, blah. Styles said, they, I mean, he must have been asked in an interview. He was like, you know, well, is there rules or whatever? Do you believe, you know, do you agree with Drake saying it, saying, you know, talking about a sick friend is against the rules?
Yeah.
He said, no, there's no rules in battle.
Of course he won't say that.
Yeah,
I mean, he's going to say the fucking battle with him and Siegel.
Yeah.
They was talking about, like, killing niggas' moms and, yeah, shit. Like, of course he going to say that.
And, like, they legit said, oh, there would have been, like, violence. If we would have came across these dudes, there would have been violence. Yes. Right. Arsenal just won.
What the fuck is Arsenal?
You know what I mean? I know. Listen.
It's not a soccer podcast.
How much I appreciate y'all that I'm here working while Arsenal's playing. You know what I mean?
Jesus Christ.
But we just blew them out 3-0. 3-1, excuse me.
A blowout and you scored 3 times.
So. Yes.
Nice. That's not a real sport. It's not.
It's a beautiful game, dog.
No, it's
respect
not.
Respect the beautiful game.
You score 3 times, it's not a real sport.
Yes, it is.
It don't count.
Respect the beautiful game, dog.
Hockey neither.
Eagles only scored 3 times yesterday and lost. So, I mean, Jesus, you know, what are we going to say?
Yeah. I guess. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, you're right. Like, these dudes said basically they would have went to, you know, Styles and them and State Prop, like, they would have went to, like, actual blows if they would have came across each other. So,
right.
I get it. I also look this, just because he says it doesn't mean everybody has to feel that way. Again.
That's the thing. Y'all motherfuckers, every time somebody has a take on a thing, y'all don't have to reshape your worldview,
yeah, exactly,
around it. You know what I mean? Like, you can be, you know, sovereign in your, yeah, opinion on a thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't think that in a very real world sense, I don't think that there are rules in battle rap.
Yeah,
because practically, if you look at how it's been applied throughout history, there have been no rules. People, yeah, have said what the fuck ever.
Things, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But I do think that there should be decorum. You know what I mean? Zilla Rocka, shout out to Zilla Rocka. He asked a question on Twitter the other day. He said, should rap be politically correct?
Yeah.
And people were like, no, no way, man. Fuck that, man. You say what you want to say. My thing was rap, political correctness or not, rap shouldn't be oppressive. Rap,
yeah, yeah.
Rap shouldn't be homophobic. Rap shouldn't be misogynist. It shouldn't be transphobic. It certainly shouldn't be racist. All those things, right? But if it is, then we got a right not to fuck with it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I've said this before on the podcast. I never liked Hit 'Em Up. I thought Hit 'Em Up was gross. You know what I mean? I thought it was crass. You can be vicious and not be that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it also, it come down to every artist. And it come down to, you know, the listeners. You know what I mean? But if it's too much for me, then I'm like, I don't fuck with it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's what it comes down to. I mean, if people go, do I think that what he said about 40 was out of line? Yeah, I do. But, you know what I mean? I also loved Hit 'Em Up when it came out, but I also was like 15, 16 years old when Hit 'Em Up came out.
Right.
In my late 30s at this point, I don't feel that same way. You know what I mean? Because I grew as a person, and I go like, well, that's nothing I would say about somebody, even if I didn't like them. You know what I mean? Like,
I never liked, you know, people that argue like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I try never to do that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I purposely try not to call people out their name, period, stuff. Like, you know, especially if you're arguing with a lady, your lady or whatever. Like, I've done it maybe once or twice, called someone a bitch.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? I'm not a big arguer anyway, so.
I ain't trying to be out here fighting with none of y'all motherfuckers.
No, but I think, like, at the end of the day, like, I'm not a person who does that kind of stuff, who's, like, so personal and attacks and stuff like that. It's just disgusting, like, you know what I mean? And I always do that, too. I think about, like, yo, you can't take that shit back.
Right, that's the thing. You know, it would almost make more sense to me, or it would make more sense to me if you're arguing with just a stranger on the street.
Yeah.
And you just let out, you fucking piece of shit, da 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 da, let out all of that shit. Motherfuckers argue with people they supposedly love.
Yeah, and say the worst foul.
And try to be, you know, you want to be invested with this person and move forward in the future. Fuck that.
Yeah.
I try to argue, you know, as polite as possible.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? With somebody I care about that I want to keep, you know, the relationship going with.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's at times people, I know I felt this way at one point. I argue more passionately with somebody I care about because I actually care what their opinion is, what they think. So, like, I'll argue with them more passionately. But as I've gotten older, I go, I don't ever want to say something so vile in what I say that becomes, like, because I mean, like, you can't take that shit back. No matter how hard you say things, you can't take that kind of stuff back, man.
Right.
It's hard. I mean, it's hard. It's hard for somebody to not look at you a different way when you say certain things. Not everything. I think sometimes when you're in an argument, you do have to take into account, like, hey, listen, we were arguing. And people say stuff to hurt people when you argue. You know what I mean? Because you're upset and you would like them to be upset too.
Yeah.
So that happens. I think there's a very thin line, though. And I think saying something like, if your grandmother was dying and I said, that's why your grandmother dying. Like, no, that's not, like, you know what I mean? No matter how hard you want to hurt somebody, that's something you just don't say.
Yeah, what the fuck, dog? I had an older kid say that to me when I was little after my pop got killed.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and I just, like, I wasn't even enraged. I felt, like, sorry for him. Like, what kind of loser says that to a child? Like, this kid was, like, a teenager, and I was, like, my pop got killed. I was, like, 8. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, what kind of, like, you're miserable.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And, like, in the context of, like, battle rapping, to me, that shit always felt like it felt like to me that Pac with the Hit 'Em Up thing was saying all that stuff because he couldn't fuck with Big on the mic.
Yeah.
Rest in peace to Pac. You know what I mean? Who was nice despite what y'all niggas out here, goofy niggas on the internet saying, oh, you know, Tupac really couldn't rap. That nigga could rap.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? On a spiritual level, that nigga could rap.
Yeah.
And a flow level. But whatever. But I always felt like he was saying all of this, you know, reckless shit because he couldn't get busy with Biggie on a lyrical, you know, a lyrical sense. So, you know, when I look at shit like that and it's like you got to bring up a motherfucker grandmom and his all this other shit about his family and all this other stuff, that don't impress me. That impresses people on the internet now, you know what I mean, or people in hip-hop now. It's like, ooh, like a gotcha, you know, what kind of stuff you can dig up. You got rappers out here paying people in people's hometowns to dig up stuff. That's just corny to me. Like, get busy on the mic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And out rap this nigga. If it's supposed to be a rap battle. This shit, a lot of it really is like tabloid battle.
Oh yeah.
You know?
I mean, like, that the whole scene turned into that too. You'll see like these set up battles.
Oh,
and
like do all the research on
each
other.
These dudes do like 2 months worth of research on somebody and come in with like all the like all the bad news they can get on that person. It's like,
right,
I don't know, man. Like, that's just not how I came up, in the sense when you battle somebody, you just battle them. Like, you know what I mean? And you just try to prove you were nicer on the mic than that person was.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, like, in hip hop, it's been that way for a long time. I'll be like, yo, you say the foulest shit you can say about somebody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I think it's I think it's more up to a personal choice. Like you said, Styles definitely ain't going to say, yeah, there's rules, when, you know, them dudes basically said they would go to war. So,
yeah, them motherfuckers. One day we going to do like a whole thing on like
the state prop
and the locks battle. Cause that shit was out of control. I just knew, like, yo, these motherfuckers see each other, like, somebody might get shot or some shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm glad they, you know, they kept it on the mic and they got, you know, they got past all of that shit.
Yeah,
but I've definitely seen Styles like give props to Beans. Like, oh, I love Beans. You know what I mean? Like, that shit makes me happy.
They've been on shit together since then.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly.
I'm going to skip this Kamal thing because I just don't think it's worth talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to him.
Yeah. Big news, though, happened the end of last week. It was, you know, we're recording on Monday. But I won't say local because it's not really local. They're bigger than local. But yeah, yeah. A.R. Ab from OBH and a few members of OBH were arrested on federal drug charges.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, they got them for like major shit. Like,
oh, fuck, really?
Crack, coke, heroin, methamphetamines, Jesus. Firearms,
yeah.
All types of shit. Like, you know, we've professed to be fans of OBH here.
100%. Podcast, yeah.
Several times. Have friends who fuck with OBH who are in OBH. So I think it's crazy. Like, the article that I read about, at first it was like from Vlad, so, like, you know what I mean? I'm pretty sure he was the source on, you know, yeah, as the snitch.
Fucking Vlad.
Look at the paperwork, his name's probably on it.
God, yeah.
But first, can we address that 1 second? I think we've mentioned this before. Yo, stop going on Vlad telling him weird stories.
For real. Please stop doing it. Like, even if, like, we jokingly, it might actually be, but we jokingly be like, oh, man, Vlad's a cop, da 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 da. Even if that's not the case, somebody who's a cop is watching that shit.
Yeah.
For real.
Well, I mean, wasn't that whole thing about, like, the hip-hop police would, like, just watch these dudes' tapes and interviews and shit like that. And,
listen,
like,
to songs. Yeah. Try to figure out who's beefing with who.
Yeah.
Philly, I mean, you know, other writers have done a lot of research on this shit, more so than I have. But, like, a lot of the motherfuckers who were beefing, like, North Philly niggas that was beefing, who was, like, rappers as well.
Yeah.
Got mixed up in, you know, people got killed and shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were looking at these niggas' songs.
Yep.
It was like, well, you said XYZ did this to XYZ. Like, come on.
Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, like, we've seen it in other places where, like, all across the country, where, like, judges will, like, lawyers are, like, the prosecutors will use a guy's rap lyrics against him in a trial or shit like that. And it's like, you know, well, where does the line of, like, artist expression and, like, like, what the artist expression as compared to, like, what the person does. It does hurt you when you talk about selling methamphetamines and then get caught with methamphetamines.
Jesus, yeah.
It hurts because that doesn't help you when you go, oh, no, that was just me talking about that. I didn't literally do it, even though I have methamphetamines bagged up and ready to be distributed.
Right, right.
Like, there, I don't know, man. It sucks because I do fuck with OBH. I like Ab. And it looks like they have them, like, dead to rights type thing. They've been investigating them for over a year.
Jesus. Yeah.
And it's not looking good.
It don't look good, yeah. I don't know, man. It's hard for me to take the federal government seriously.
Oh yeah, I mean,
with these indictments on people for selling drugs. You know, it's illegal, whatever. But we're on the verge of a huge boom related to the legalized distribution of drugs.
Oh, definitely.
You know what I mean? So this country is going to have to, the drug war failed, obviously, created more problems.
Let me finish.
This country is on a fundamental cultural level is going to have to reevaluate its relationship with drugs. You know what I'm saying? Because it's the legalization of marijuana, not that it's going to like lead to crack being legal or nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? But the fact that, you know, we're moving into this space where this is going to be the big industry now, there's going to be that financial imperative behind the culture changing around drugs. And it's hard for me to take the federal government serious when all through the 80s, these motherfuckers who got arrested in this whole sweep, they parents and uncles and all of them was probably getting it off of y'all back in the day.
Well, yeah.
If not now.
Well, here's my thing. The drug war wasn't necessarily a failure. Depending on what you think the drug war
was supposed to be about, yeah.
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 Was it to increase the prison population? To then privatize prisons and have, essentially slave labor? Because that was super successful.
Yeah.
Especially against, like, poor people and people of color.
Yeah.
You can look at, like, Rockefeller drug laws, shit like that with, like, crack cocaine, while it holds less actual cocaine than actual, like, cocaine, powder cocaine,
yeah,
you get more time for crack cocaine as opposed to powder cocaine.
Right.
There was a tension behind the drug war, and the drug war was successful for what it wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's if you believe, like I do, that the intention was never to eliminate drugs.
No.
Especially not when your federal government, I mean, this is all part of record, brought in drugs to the country.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I have a hard time looking at it and going like, hey, listen, man, you know, yeah, lock up the drug dealers, blah, blah, blah. The government's just as culpable in this as any person on a corner selling drugs.
Yeah, if not more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like you said, like, I think I saw it the other day. Now, I don't know if this article was true or not, but they said, like, Canada knocked out its debt, its national debt, in the first weekend marijuana was legalized.
Jesus. How is that even possible?
So, like, they said there's, like, four-hour-long lines at dispensaries.
Yeah.
They said, like, this one little girl, like, went and sold all her, like, Girl Scout cookies in the line waiting for, like, because people were waiting in line so long. You can, And we're still going to have people that were, like, arrested just 5 years ago on marijuana charges sitting in jail.
Yeah.
While this country moves closer and closer to legalization of marijuana.
Yeah. Like, full, you know,
yeah.
Legalization. Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, your cousin that got caught with, like, a pound is going to continue to serve his time.
Yeah. Jesus.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to go back and go, oh, no, you know what I mean? Let's drop those charges because now we think we's cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This country... has a strange, the prison system already is, you know, we're wildly against the prison system. It's not meant to reform. It's essentially just like free slave labor. So,
yeah.
I'm not forcing anybody else continue to go into that situation. I do think there are people that need to be separated from society, but our prison system is not the way to do it. And in this case, I don't know, man. I have a hard time going like, oh, you know, oh well, you know, drugs are bad.
Right.
I mean, people are gonna get high, man. Like this is, you know what I mean? We live in a society that constantly beats down on people and escape is one of the biggest things for them.
Yeah.
Drug addiction. If it was treated for the disease that it really was as opposed to treating it as a crime, you wouldn't have these same. You would have the again though, like locking up them is not going to change the fact that like we have a drug addiction issue here. We have a drug problem in this country.
Yeah.
Locking up somebody who's a dealer is not going to change that.
Yeah, and you know we'll see how much how hard on crime, you know, the system is, the justice system is, as we, you know, move deeper into this opioid crisis, quote unquote, that's affecting more and more white people. You know, we'll see the difference in policing. We'll see the difference in sentencing.
Absolutely.
When it comes to these situations with the opioid crisis than it, you know, was when during like the crack era when we grew up. You know what I'm saying? We'll see the difference. And we know that it's racialized. We know that it's based on class, economic class. So it's just hypocritical. You know what I mean? I fully understand the take, you know, where people were like, yo, you know, just get your money, get out the game or whatever. A lot of motherfuckers can't get out the game for various reasons.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And it ain't just, I don't want to, you know what I mean? A lot of motherfuckers cannot, you know. But it also, I can't take this country seriously locking up poor people for selling drugs. I can't take it seriously.
You're not actually addressing the systemic problem. You're just going, like, you're painting over it by saying, like, oh, we locked up a couple drug dealers.
Yeah, America likes that, though.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Or it has, like, a pathological need to not address the systemic issue.
Yeah.
Just, like, kind of, you know, do patchwork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we can start rapping. Did you listen to anything new this week?
The fuck that I listened to. I did listen to Marvin Jaye.
Okay.
It's Marvin Gaye and Jay Dilla mashup. Yeah, Marvin.
Who did it?
AOK, I think it is. Yeah. It's dope. It's pretty dope.
Really? I want to hear it though. I did see something on it.
It's cool. You know, it's a lot of you know, like it, they have like the Marvin I think it's Marvin and Tammy Terrell. It Takes Two.
Yeah.
Over the Dilla beat. Only One Can Win. Oh, yeah. Joint. So, like, it's just like a groovy little tape. It's dope. You know what I mean?
What'd you listen to it on?
YouTube.
YouTube? Okay.
YouTube. I'm fucking with YouTube heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope it don't, like,
it crashed.
I remember.
People were freaking out when it crashed.
Yeah. It's crazy because I've been spending a lot of time on YouTube and a lot of stuff that we're working on. I've been me and you stuff, but then also like stuff I'm working on personally.
Yeah.
I've been kind of curating through YouTube playlists. That's kind of become like my tool I've been using. But when it crashed, I was just like I didn't bug out. At first I was like, yo, is my internet not working? And my internet was working. I was like, oh, YouTube must be down.
Yeah.
But people were like, what the fuck is wrong with YouTube?
Yeah. I'm
like, all right.
Listen, I know I've been there like where like there's nights at work where I spend like hours on YouTube and shit like that. Just trying to kill time. So I know that feeling. But you know, I have other things. I have plenty of podcasts that I have like stored on my fucking my queue that I just haven't listened to yet. So
right.
I have shit to go listen to. But no, I mean, you know, every once in a while I need like non what culture videos about like, you know, different movies and shit like that I need to go through.
Yeah.
So now I understand the crash. But yeah, I want to check that joint out, that Marvin Jaye joint.
Yeah, it's dope.
I listened to The Future and Juice WRLD, a World on Drugs joint. It's good. There's some dope shit on there. There's times it gets kind of samey sounding. And Juice WRLD is essentially like a future like kid, like, you know what I mean, just one of his sons essentially.
Yeah.
So like vocally kind of gets sound like samey. It's okay. There's, like I said, there's some really dope stuff on there. It's a little long. I think it's like 16 tracks long or something like that. That's, I don't really need 16 songs from them dudes. I think when they switch in and out some producers, it gets a little better. Like in the beginning, it's a, like, I think a few songs straight are like all from the same producer and it kind of gets same soundy.
Yeah.
Toward the end, they mix it up a little bit and it gets a little better. So I liked it, but like definitely it's one of those things where it's like you pick and choose like the five or six songs you really like off of it and keep it moving. I also listened to Lil Yachty, Nothing to Prove. I enjoyed that way better. Just sound wise, like sonically, I just enjoyed it way better. Like it did, like everything doesn't sound exactly the same on there.
Some Future shit can be one note for
me. Exactly.
Yeah.
Part of that I think too is just like the abundance of what Future puts out. Like he puts out so much work.
Yeah.
That like I think like, you know, you would cut a lot of shit if you didn't do it that way. But yeah, I enjoyed the Yachty project. You know, again, this dude isn't making music essentially for me. There's some really dope stuff on here. I really enjoyed it. Sonically, I kind of was like, you know, what do they do? Like the sorbet after you eat like a thing of food to like wash it, like to cleanse your palate. Like that essentially did it for me. Like it kind of cleansed my palate after the Juice WRLD. But where a lot of the Juice WRLD stuff kind of sounds samey. This one didn't, not even as much as like this project doesn't have songs that sound similar. A lot of them do nowadays. It didn't sound exactly like the Juice WRLD joint. So I was like, oh, this is kind of like a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
And so I enjoyed it though. I did like it. I think anybody who's a fan of Yachty like will really enjoy it. I think he stepped it up like lyrically even a little bit on this project. So I enjoyed it. I think I would say definitely go check it out. And if you're not a fan of Yachty, I would say check it out. Maybe you will enjoy it a little more than you've heard from stuff that he's done.
Word.
But other than that, man, I don't have nothing else. I wanted to check out a couple other projects I didn't get a chance to listen to this week.
Yeah, so I'll be trying to like mediate. I mean, when I do actually listen to stuff, like if I listen to two new things,
yeah,
I'll be like, all right, I'll save one for next week.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah. Also, I mean, like we had a busy week this week.
Busy motherfucking week.
Yeah.
And we're gonna have a busy next week.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? So if we come back next week with nothing listened to, understand why.
It's all for y'all.
Yeah, exactly. we're working on stuff. So like it was a busy week last week. We had stuff going on. excuse me. And personal thing I totally forgot about. Yeah, other than that, man, we can, I would say, like, yo, you know, we are essentially like the official podcast of Antifa. also, we are official Yankees podcast. Don't forget about that.
Never.
Sixers play again tomorrow. So expect a lot of Sixers shit on the page, especially if we blow Detroit out.
Which we will.
Yeah, definitely. Detroit stinks. Shout out to the homie Ben Leaf.
Hey.
No, other than that, yo, fuck with us on all the different platforms. Rate and review us. 5 stars. Otherwise, you're just, you know, you're lying to yourself.
Yeah, what are you doing? You're not going to give us 5 stars?
Yeah, cool. That's just hater shit. You know, fuck with us on all the platforms and, you know, fucking Brooklyn Radio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Spotify got with the shits.
Hey, Spotify.
SoundCloud, Podbean, Word. Google Play, TuneIn, everywhere.
All that.
You know, we're everywhere. Any place, there's no excuse not to listen to us. Except for YouTube. That's the only place we not, YouTube. Yeah. We tried, but it takes forever to upload the podcast because they're long. So
Ain't
nobody got time to be sitting around doing shit.
Eventually.
Yeah. You know, when we get like an intern. You know,
Who want to be our intern?
Yeah, who wants to intern for us?
I know not famous niggas who got interns.
Yeah, exactly. Email us.
Intern. Come on.
Email us. Maybe we'll check our email once in a while.
I check our email.
You do?
I just don't tell you, but yeah, I do check it.
I don't check it.
Yeah, I just don't mention it.
Yeah.
Not for any like reason. I just don't think to mention it.
I guarantee, like, if I find out we're getting money sent to the podcast,
people just cash apping us.
People cash apping us money.
Yeah.
I will be really upset.
Shout out to us living in the future where people can just...
Yeah, exactly.
That's insane. You money. It's so good. It's so
insane.
Good.
Once I mean, it is dope though. Sometimes when someone goes, like, my kids will say something to me. So I'm like, yo, can we get? I need money to go do this. And it's like, my kids live on the other side of town. Sometimes, like, where I'm depending on where I am, it's like, all right, give me like what you know. Is anybody around that has Cash App so I can send you the money and just save myself the time of like trying to get to people?
Dog. Once they get that shit, where like you get the check and you could take a picture of it.
Yeah.
Once they get that shit down, because like now it takes like mad long. Once they can get that shit down and it's instant,
yeah,
it'd be a wrap.
Yeah.
It'd be a fucking wrap.
Yeah, definitely.
Be coming out the meeting, nigga hand you a check. Be coming out the meeting like, bing.
Yep. Well, that shit about to be the account. We hitting the Maserati store.
Right? Immediately. God damn.
Shout out to Entourage. Yeah. Other than that, yo, we'll see y'all next week, man. Peace.
Peace.
Me and my fam take this rap shit serious.